Hi, welcome to a StanLib Economic Podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the Chief Economist within StanLib. In this podcast, we want to talk about the reciprocal tariffs that were introduced by the Trump administration last night. And obviously, it has caused huge chaos in financial markets and a lot of head scratching amongst a wide range of countries. And I guess we'll see responses over the coming days, coming weeks. So a lot is unknown. But we'll try and provide some insight or the bits and pieces of insight that we have at this stage. The reciprocal tariffs have been imposed on way more than 100 countries that the US does business with, although for a huge number of those countries, the tariff is simply going to sit at a 10%. So the Trump administration has set a minimum of 10%. And then for quite a wide range of countries, the percentage goes up significantly from that 10%, and it goes all the way up to 49%, which is imposed against Cambodia. But there are many countries that are in the 40% range, 30%, 20%, etc. South Africa, the percentage is set at 30%, and obviously there are a lot of questions around how did the Trump administration get to that calculation. Now, it was not based on existing tariffs that, for example, South Africa has in place against the US or any other particular country. Instead, what the US seems to have done is used the trade deficit that individual countries have in place with the US and then simply use that to determine what sort of tariffs they think is the most appropriate in order to try and restore the trade deficit to something that is more in balance. So in South Africa's case, they assumed it was 60% is the applicable tariff that then rectifies the trade imbalance. And then they took that 60% and applied a discount to it. That discount seems to have been, for most countries, around about 50%. Why 50%? There's no real logic to that. And so South Africa goes from the 60% down to 30%, and that's our applicable tariff. It doesn't make a huge amount of sense. It's not particularly scientific. It's not particularly logical. But it's the list of tariffs that the U.S. administration has come up with. Now, those tariffs are going to be made effective either on the 5th of April or on the 9th of April, depending on which category you fall into. So if it's the minimum 10%, that becomes effective on the 5th of April. If the tariff is higher than 10%, so in South Africa's case, the 30%, that is applicable from the 9th of April. So why the difference in the date? I think it has got to do for the opportunity to negotiate the tariff. So remember, the Trump administration, a lot of what they're about is the deal or the negotiation. And so they've made it clear that they're open to discussions. And I think a wide range of countries will now engage with the U.S. administration to see if they can't get their particular tariff reduced. The South African government has said there's an urgency to negotiate with the Trump administration, but they haven't provided any further details. And so I'm assuming they will enter into the same sort of discussion that many other countries will now be participating in. The level of success they achieve is unknown because I guess it will depend on what you're willing to offer the United States and how much they're willing to then drop the tariff that is applicable to that country. And I guess we'll get more information about that over the coming days, coming weeks. And as a consequence of that, the tariff system is going to get very, very complicated very quickly. Now, if you look at the level of tariffs that have been imposed, is that in line with expectations? No, it's way higher than what people were looking at. I looked at a range of so-called worst case scenarios that people put out, and this is well in excess of that, including actually by the South African Reserve Bank. Their worst case scenario was at around 25%, and so a 30% would cause the Reserve Bank to go back and revisit their numbers. And the implications are very substantial. So if we start to have a look at what that means, it's clear that it's going to, in essence, push prices up around the world, particularly in the United States. So it's going to lead to an escalation in inflationary pressure. And it's also going to lead to a slowdown in economic activity. And it does risk pushing various countries into an economic recession, and that includes the United States. So listening to a call this morning on the European economy, what seems to be unfolding there is that many people are revising down their Europe growth estimate by a full 1 percentage point. Now, if you consider that Europe's not expected to grow significantly more than 1%, then effectively the tariffs could push the European economy close to a recession. And you're going to see something similar coming out for the United States and for other jurisdictions as people try and understand the implications. Now, clearly, you've got to be careful about these types of interpretations, including what it does to inflation, because tariffs will be negotiated from here. So the tariff list we've got will very likely change and change significantly. In addition, there's also a very wide range of items or categories that have been specifically excluded from those tariffs. Now, many of those items are related to mining or minerals and commodities, but it's a bit broader than that. So to give you some idea of the items that have been excluded at this stage would include things like copper, uranium, silver, coal, manganese, petroleum, natural gas, gold is excluded, a lot of chemical products, a lot of medicines, a lot of wood products, platinum, palladium, rhodium, all excluded. So there's a very wide range of categories that have been itemized and excluded from these reciprocal tariffs. And clearly that's also going to have to be looked at to determine what sort of economic effect the tariffs are likely to have. But if I look at the basic numbers that have been done, what it will do, particularly for the US, is push inflation significantly higher and push economic growth significantly lower, and you're going to end up with an element of stagflation. The response from the US Federal Reserve will probably be to focus much more on the downside to economic growth as a key part of their mandate, and therefore even consider cutting interest rates in order to mitigate the damage that the tariffs are going to cause. Now, at the same time, it's going to push inflation higher and clearly well above the inflation target. But they, I guess, will still argue that a lot of this inflationary response will be once-off. In other words, they won't anticipate that this is going to become an entrenched higher level of inflation that persists for many years. They will assume that it's a price shock, that the shock pushed prices higher, and that once that shock is then in the data, it shouldn't continue to push inflation ever higher. And so they can then focus on the implications for the growth dynamic. There's a huge amount of risk to that policy approach because obviously there are circumstances where inflation can take hold more broadly. So I think the US authorities will take their time in trying to evaluate what this all means and understand what's happening to the negotiations around tariffs and whether or not they need to respond and what sort of response will be applicable. So I think you're going to see many central banks simply go on hold in the short term while they evaluate and do a whole lot of calculations about what the implications are of these types of tariffs. In terms of the uncertainty that this creates, so remember we had a whole lot of uncertainty ahead of the reciprocal tariff announcement, and now we've got also equally a lot of uncertainty about where this goes, because while we've got a list of tariffs, what we don't know is what negotiations will follow and what gets revised in terms of the tariff structure. The other thing which I think is actually more important that we don't know is how long are these tariffs going to remain in place? Now, in the document, in the executive order that was signed by President Trump, he says the tariffs on individual countries will remain in place until the president decides that the threat has been mitigated. The problem with that is that we don't know how long that is. We don't know what mitigation means. We don't know what will be the criteria placed or used by the Trump administration to then say, well, the tariffs have achieved the outcome that we want, and therefore we're now willing to drop the tariffs or eliminate the tariffs. Also, more importantly, I guess, we don't know what the next administration in the US will do around these types of tariffs. And the reason that's important is that if you're going to set up a manufacturing business in the US to take advantage of this higher level of protection in order to have a viable manufacturing business, are you going to be assured that these tariffs will persist beyond the Trump administration? And if you don't have that assurance, are you willing to undertake that investment, knowing that the risk is that the next administration could remove those tariffs entirely and your business might not be competitive? So as much as we now know what the reciprocal tariff list looks like, I would argue that we've got an increased level of uncertainty as a consequence of that. We've also got obviously an adverse reaction in financial markets. We've seen the currency weaken appreciably. We've seen generally bond markets weaken, equity markets weaken. And I think people around the world will be digesting what the economic implications are. And as we work through those numbers, I think we're going to end up concluding that this is not good for global growth, global trade. And while it will now lead to a desire to increase the trade relationship between countries that exclude the United States from the trade deal, that takes time to have an effect. In other words, let's say in South Africa's case, we try and strengthen our relationship with Europe or with some of the Asian countries in order to boost our trade. That's going to take time to put in place. And remember, everybody else is going to be looking to do the same thing. And so there's going to be an increased level of competition in countries outside of the US to see if you can then gain some market share. And that in itself is going to be fairly disruptive to a whole range of businesses. So I think we're only starting to scratch at the surface as to what these sorts of tariffs mean and scratch at the level of uncertainty that is going to persist in the global economy for some time to come. So from my perspective, this is not a good policy move. I think nobody wins out of this. I can understand from the Trump administration perspective, they feel that this will reinvigorate the domestic manufacturing sector. But I think that reinvigoration will be very limited. Obviously, some companies will find that they get increased orders because they happen to be in an area where their tariffs are helping, and that US businesses switch from importing in order to use domestic suppliers, and they find themselves with a larger order book. That's entirely feasible. But equally, there's a lot of areas where the US simply doesn't manufacture anything anymore in those particular industries because those industries have become uncompetitive, and as a result, most of those items are imported. In which case, how long would it take for a factory to start up to try and produce those goods? And would people even risk that as an investment opportunity? In which case, you're simply going to find that you continue to import the items, but at a higher cost. And so I think that there are no winners out of this. I think it's going to effectively transfer a whole lot of money from US household sector to the government as you pay for these tariffs. So effectively you end up as a household sector with less money and therefore less purchasing power. That tends to hurt the economy. You end up with a price pressure that then permeates into other areas, including the service economy, because obviously the service sector does use a whole range of goods, and that the price effect is not going to be simply limited to the goods sector. So you've got potentially a broadening out of inflation. And there's no doubt that you also are giving up the opportunity to reduce interest rates. There's no doubt that the US Federal Reserve would have ideally wanted to have been in a position to continue to cut rates. But because you've got this massive uncertainty around what the tariffs mean for inflation, interest rates, at least in the short term, will go on hold. And there's an opportunity cost to keeping rates on hold instead of cutting as was envisaged. And then obviously you've got the negative effect or wealth effect as a result of weakness that could evolve in various financial markets. And you've got a change in investor behavior as people look for safe haven assets. And right now, gold would be included in that. So there are a lot of massive implications of doing this type of thing. And I don't think that you can determine at this stage what the end result is. And nor can I think that you can be assured that any particular sector or set of companies are going to end up being winners. And I don't think anybody wins a trade war. So For me, this is very unfortunate. And while I can understand the Trump administration's rationale for trying to do this, I do think it's misguided, and I don't think it will lead to the type of outcomes that they hope. I hope that makes some sense, and we'll chat soon as we get more information.